Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. Thank you for joining us this Sunday morning for a Sunday morning sermon. Now, I don't know where you're hearing this, this broadcast this morning on our website, but we are so glad that you are, that you have come to our website. We do not believe in happenstance when we pray and ask God to direct us and to touch other people, to bring people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian today, you may know much of what we're going to talk about today. You may know it in your head, and the Holy Spirit wants us to know it in our heart, because that's when the seed germinates, when it gets into a good ground heart. When it does, it brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So we pray you'll stay tuned today to get the word that you may have absolutely crystallized in your mind. We want it to drop a few inches and get down into your heart today, so it can bring forth fruit. In other words, we want it to be a rhema word, not just logos on the page that you can give mental assent to, but something that you're absolutely convinced in your heart. Amen. So if you have your heart open along with your word today, the Bible, God is going to speak to you in a very personal and a very precise way. And if you're not a Christian today, please stay tuned. Hear the good news. This is what gospel is. I'm a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm pastor. I am a president director of our organization. We are part of a fellowship instead of a denomination of independent churches worldwide. I am an evangelist because, just like we're doing now, because of the World Wide Web and in the past radio, we're reaching out to as many people as God will allow us to reach. Will He send His word to today? We believe He sent His word to you. And we believe in divine appointments. And let's come together, therefore, around the Word of God and see what the Holy Spirit has to say, what God has to say through His earthly agent, the Holy Spirit. Amen. To you and to me today. Praise God. The name of our sermon today is John 3:16. Very, very common scripture that we have all heard, probably the first scripture you learned if you went to Sunday school. We learned this, as well as we learned the whole 23rd Psalm when I was in sixth grade elementary, back before they tried to, are trying and doing a pretty good job of pushing God out of the schools and out of the collective consciousness of America. The media doesn't even like to use the name of Christ in particular, of Jesus in particular. Christmas is controversial because of Jesus, and Jesus is controversial because He said, "I'm the only way to God." Amen. And rose from the dead after they crucified Him and validated everything that He had to say. Amen. Let me say something about John 3:16. You know it, don't you? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. John 3:16, dear friend, is not just about the fact of God's love for the world. It's about how much He loves you. "For God so loved you and I that He gave His only begotten Son." John 3:16, "Make It Personal," is the title of our preaching this morning. Amen. Let me read you some statistics about this particular verse of Scripture. Of all the 31,175 verses of the Bible, John 3:16 may well stand out as the greatest text of the entire Bible. It has been translated into over 1,100 languages of the world, and why not? This single scripture has been used by soul winners and the Holy Spirit to lead more sinners out of darkness into light than any other verse in the Bible. Listen, I love that great song that says how deep the Father's love for us. You have to take this scripture and make it personal for it to have an effect on you and the effect on you that God intends for it to have. God wants you to know His love because of His Word that is declaring it to you. And He validates that when He gave His Son for you and I on the cross. That's what it means when it said He gave His Son. Many people immediately go back to the focus of Christmas when Jesus came and He lay as a babe in a manger. He didn't come to stay in the manger. He came to become flesh like you and I, the second person of the Godhead, to take on flesh and lay helpless in a manger, dependent on His mother and His father, Joseph, not His genetic father. His father was God. Amen. And He became God incarnate, God in flesh. But He came in that first advent, in the first step of His journey to the cross, so He could take our place as a man on that cross and pay the sin debt that none of us could ever pay. When it said He gave His Son, this is exactly what it's talking about. It's talking about giving Him to be sacrificed, a substitute, the Lamb of God. And that's why we need to take that scripture and realize what it cost God to give His Son and what it cost Jesus to give His life and suffer and die and shed His blood on that cross for you and for me. Never doubt that God loves you. No matter what the seeming circumstance, never doubt God's love. Let the Word of God speak and let the cross scream it out to you that God loves you, and take it to heart. Take it personal. Don't just give mental assent. Oh yeah, that's a given. God loved the world. He gave His Son. No. God so loved the world. I love that song, how deep the Father's love for us. Let me just read some lyrics from this song to you today. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Now listen to these last two verses. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but I know with all my heart His wounds have paid my ransom. God wants you to make it personal today, to know the love of God that passes all understanding. Amen. That you might experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. To know the love of God that passes knowledge. That you might know the peace of God that passes all understanding today. I believe this is the point of faith that many people allow to cause us to doubt. We don't doubt God has all power. That He has to be God. He wouldn't be God if He didn't have all power, if He wasn't omnipotent and having all power. We don't doubt that He has all knowledge, that He's omniscient. We don't even doubt that He is with us here. Amen. Sometimes we can't sense Him or see Him, but we know that He is present with us, an omnipresent God. Amen. Where it breaks down is that He is love. And He has that kind of love and quality of love for us that we can trust that He hears us when we pray, that He will come, He will help us, He will watch over His word to perform it in our behalf. It's all about His love for us, and it's all about our accepting that love by faith. Amen. And the Word of God and the cross of Christ is to be the foundation for that faith in His love and in the shed blood, therefore, of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest theologians that ever lived, Karl Barth, was asked to be a guest lecturer at the University of Chicago Divinity School. At the end of a captivating closing lecture, the president of the seminary announced that Dr. Barth was not well and quite tired. He thought that Dr. Barth would like to be open for questions. He shouldn't expect it to handle the strain. Therefore, he said, "I will ask just one question on behalf of us all." He turned to the renowned theologian and asked, "Of all the theological insights you've ever had, which do you consider to be the greatest of them all?" It's the perfect question for a man who had written literally tens of thousands of pages of some of the most sophisticated theology ever put into print. The students held pencils right up against their writing pads, ready to take down verbatim the premier insight of the greatest theologian of their time. Karl Barth closed his tired eyes, and he thought for a minute, and then half smiled, opened his eyes, and said to those young seminarians, "The greatest theological insight that I have ever had is this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Dear friends, I want to declare today that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the greatest love story ever told, ever preached, and ever written. Someone has truly stated that man needs to be loved the most when he deserves it the least. Only God can fulfill this incredible need. God's love is absolutely incredible. I'm using the word incredible as we hear it in modern life. The word actually means unbelievable, inconceivable, absurd, preposterous. But this word is usually used to describe something so far out it's beyond our sense of reality. The love of God is something over which we should be continually amazed. The great hymn, Amazing Grace, is an anthem of God's incredible love for us. We sing the contemporary song, Amazing Love. How can it be that this my King would die for me? I'm going to go beyond that, more than an earthly king, an earthly monarch, more than any earthly person. That sits in such authority is the God who created earth and created us and all that is in the earth, that this our God would take on flesh and become incarnate in Christ. To wit, the scriptures declare God was in Jesus Christ in the context of Him on the cross, paying our sin debt, reconciling the world unto Himself. Love like this is so amazing. The scriptures declare that God wants us to know the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of it, and to be filled with all the fullness of God, and to know the love that passes knowledge, that we might have what? A peace that passes all understanding, and have a faith that is founded and based upon God's deep, deep love for you and for me. But you've got to make it personal. You can't just, say, God so loved the world. But God so loved me, and God so loved you. This great love for sinners. Like us, it is hard to grasp. One writer sums it up this way. Could we with ink an ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Praise God. God's love for you and me, amen, should be the foundation for our faith. The Bible speaks of the faith that worketh by love. You see, if we don't believe that God loves us, even when tough times come and situations come that God has permitted, but He hasn't brought them upon us, but He hasn't stepped in to shield us from certain things. Yes, He is a shield for us, but we don't live in a bubble. We live in a faulty body. We live in a fallen world. We have a formidable foe who is relentlessly attacking us, the devil. And God, in His infinite wisdom, knows what to allow us to go through and what to keep us from. But in the midst of all of that, His love for us is undaunted, unwavering. Praise God. I don't know how to explain away all of the things that have happened maybe in your life that cause you to question God's love. But I know He wants to convince us so absolutely of how much He loves us that we do not doubt His love, so that when He takes us through, instead of keeping us from, we will have the grace, we will have the strength, we will have the faith to endure what He doesn't allow us to escape. Amen. The Bible says we're to endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. If we're going to be soldiers of the cross, we're going to face some real difficulties. If we're going to be true followers of Jesus, that's the implied meaning of a soldier of the cross, is a true follower of Jesus. No matter what, we commit to follow Him, and we endure things. We don't always get to escape them. And when he allows us to endure something, He guarantees us a sufficiency of His grace to endure it. That's why the Bible said, "Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you." If God loved me, why would He allow this? I get that. We've all, if we didn't say it, we've thought it. Amen. And God gets us, and He understands that. But He wants us to understand this. Listen to this. "Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted," literally tested, "above that you are able to bear, but who will with the temptation," the test, "make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it." He says, I'm going to give you what you need to go through. If He takes you through, He's going to do something in your life through that trial because of that circumstance that is going to strengthen you and help you be a blessing to others. I like that scripture that says, comfort one another with the same comfort wherein you are comforted. In other words, if I have faced something and God has taken me through it, I am highly qualified to tell somebody going through it what God is going to do for them. Praise God. I remember I got a letter from a pastor, an evangelist rather, in Indiana, wrote me a letter because he had heard, and I don't know how he heard it. We were not on the web then. This was many decades ago. But I was giving testimony to the fact that I went through nervous exhaustion. And for a Christian to go through that is kind of like, and a preacher in particular, an evangelist like me, to go through that, and a pastor, I'm supposed to be committing my problems to the Lord and finding His peace and His help in the time of any troubles in my life. And I felt like a failure because I've been preaching this to others, teaching this to others. And now I'm going through it. I'm going through this seemingly absent God sitting high, aloof in His heaven, seemingly not responding to my cry for help. I did it to myself. I broke all kinds of rules and I burnt out and I went through nervous exhaustion. And it's a terrible, terrifying thing to go through. And God was taking me through it while I was crying out for Him to take me from it. But I learned more about Him and His ways. And I learned more about how to help others going through things. I would have given you some little quick answer to a circumstance or a problem. Have faith in God. Get it together. Trust Him with all your heart. All of that is true. But when you go through it yourself, you know there's more to it than these little answers, these little almost cliched answers that we throw out to people. Listen, you need to understand what I needed to understand. I needed to get a hold on the fact that John 3:16 was not just about everybody in the world, although it was for everybody in the world, but it was for me personally. For God so loved Robert that He gave His only begotten Son. You can insert your name there, for God so loved you. And the logic of the cross in Romans 8:32 is simply this. If He loved us enough to offer up His only Son, which is Jesus Christ, to offer Him up how? To be a sacrifice lamb, a substitute on the cross, to be punished for our sin, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? You talk about not just a foundation for your faith, but a stimulus for you to trust God, to believe Him, even if He takes you through, not to waver in your faith in His faithfulness and your faith in His love for you. This is incredible love, and it is an indisputable love. Amen. F.W. Borman compiled a list of favorite texts of some great men of God. Sir Isaac Newton, John Newton, David Livingston, William Carey. The final chapter of his book was on John 3:16, and he called it everybody's text. And indeed it is. It was so simple, so sufficient, so sure. Its words are simply wonderful and wonderfully simple. Another theologian writes, in this wonderful verse of Scripture, John 3:16, which has rightfully been called the heart of the gospel, are contained the revelation of the gospel's fundamental truths. He goes on to say in the first declaration here made to us, we have a revelation of God. And what we're told here of God is perfectly astounding. In fact, from the standpoint of man's reason, it is wholly incredible. If we'd been told that God had stooped to notice the world of mankind, that would have been astonishing enough. If it had been said that He regarded us and that His goodwill and mercy was upon us, as it is upon all His works, that would have been a revelation to call forth man's wonder and praise. But when we are told that God loved us and so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son for us, if we try to grasp that thought in its fullness of meaning, our minds are overwhelmed. It is conceivable that the Creator of the universe should love us, that we need not stumble at the miracles over Joshua's making the sun stand still, or the whale swallowing Jonah, or the great fish, actually. Those things are nothing in comparison. Here's something far away more important and more impossible on the face of it. How can it be? And yet here it's calmly stated, but so powerfully stated, that God so loved us. Let me tell you this today, no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how others feel about you, no matter what the devil says to you, no matter what the circumstances look like, God's love for you and me is indisputable. We need a renewed vision of Jesus suffering and dying on that cruel cross for us, for you, for me, so that we never doubt God's love for us. The cross screams, "I love you," in the face of cursing, mocking, hate-filled fallen man, taking sick pleasure in his pain, yet remains on the cross. By the way, if you think nails held him there, you don't know who it was that was hanging there. When they came to take him, Peter tried to defend him. He pulled a sword. He went for a man's head and he cut off his ear. And Jesus told him to put up his sword. "If my kingdom were of this world, I would call myriads, literally, of angels. I would have called the armies of heaven to deliver me, but my kingdom is not of this world." Jesus calmly reached down and picked up that ear and put it back. And it immediately was healed. When they came to take him, he let them know and let Peter know, "If I didn't allow this to happen to me, no one. And Jesus made the statement and right there began to fulfill it. "No man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." Praise God. Listen, He who created man and who He created the tree from which the cross was made, He who created the earth, He who hung the stars in space, He so loved that when every cell of His body cried for relief, He stayed on that cross, not held by the puny nails, but by the incredible, indisputable love that He had for you and for me. On that cross, in that sneering crowd, He cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Listen to Romans 5, 6 and 8. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This word commendeth in the Greek means to show, to prove, to establish, and to exhibit. I like the Amplified. It said, "But God shows and clearly proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us today." Hallelujah. Listen, getting a great understanding of God's love mentally and intellectually is one thing, but really getting a grasp on it in your heart and life is vital to victory. God's love is indispensable to your victory and my victory, because faith worketh by love. When the pressure is on, and when we are persecuted, and when we are tempted, and when we are facing overwhelming circumstances, when prayer is unanswered in the immediate sense, when there's a delay doesn't necessarily mean there's a denial. Listen, when heaven seems shut up, when God seems distant, we need a place to stand where faith still clings to the person and the promises of God. Listen to this place, Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, when the heat is on, and it is, in the furnace of affliction, let us glory in the cross. The Holy Spirit in me is just bearing witness to this great truth today. I glory in the cross. I boast in the cross. I declare I am loved because of and as a result of the cross of Jesus Christ today. How about you? What are you facing? What are you going through? Do you hear not only the devil shouting? I think the devil's just amening our own doubt, and that is in our hearts sometimes, our own lack of understanding of what it means to be so loved by God. Hallelujah. That we would doubt that love when we don't see and we don't feel and we fail to walk by faith and not by sight. Dear friend of mine, today God is calling us to a place that we can stand, having done all, to stand in the full assurance that His love is unwavering even in the furnace of affliction, and that His grace will be sufficient for us, or He wouldn't have even allowed us to be in that situation to begin with. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you as some strange thing has happened unto you. Amen. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted that above that you are able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is raising up a people to weather the conditions of the last day. We need to stay focused on Jesus on the cross. For us, resurrected, yes, ascended to heaven, yes, seated at the right hand of God, yes, coming back, yes, but always loving us enough to stay on the cross and to promise to never leave us and never forsake us, but to go with us all the way even unto the end of the age. Today, dear Christian friend, today, let's go back to the foot of the cross. Let's look up to the one who gave His life for us, who stayed on it for 6 agonizing hours and didn't come down because something held Him there, something stronger than the authority of Rome, the soldiers at the foot of it, the nails that pierced Him and impaled Him. What was it? What could it be? That this man that could have called the armies of heaven destroyed every enemy, every blaspheming tongue, every cursing one. But he stayed on it. And not only did he stay on it, he prayed on it. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Today, dear friend, don't doubt the love of God. Let it be the foundation for your faith when everything around you is shaking. Let that be the unshakable reality of your life. And today, if you don't know Jesus, for God so loved you. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's what you're going to do with love like this for you. Will you respond to God's love by coming to Christ as your Savior? Will you repent of your sin? Will you turn from darkness to light, from Satan to Jesus? That's all He's asking of you. If you'll do that, He will do a work within you. He'll change you from the inside out. He'll deliver you from the chains of darkness. He'll deliver you from those habits. He will set you free today. Come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He loves you.